and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And keeping with recent tradition, we just have a super show for you for this Wednesday. We have not had a letdown on a Wednesday for a long time, and we definitely have not let you down today. Second hour, Tim Staples will be here. First hour, our very good friend, Father Sebastian Walsh, who is a Norbertine priest of the Abbey of St. Michael in the Diocese of Orange, where he's a professor of philosophy for the seminary program. And a person with all the Roman degrees, and I could go through them, but it bores Father if I do, is our guest today. And he has his most recent book is Secrets from Heaven, a book from Catholic Answers Press, which I highly recommend to you. And I hope that you will get, because it's one of those books where well, what could be better than feeling closer to Jesus? And when you read it, you feel closer to Jesus. You feel like you know the mind and the heart of Jesus much better. Father Sebastian Walsh, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure, Cy. Good to have you. Good to be on again.
But today we are talking about one parable in particular. The parable. I don't actually know what you call this parable. Like, what's
the? I call it the laborers who come late, because you've got a whole series of people who are invited at different times to labor.
Well, I have to tell you, I have a relative who was raised on a farm, a wonderful Catholic person, this relative of mine, who once told me she accepted everything in the Gospels except this, because it was she could not believe that Jesus would be that unfair. So I didn't know what to say to that when she said it, but it does seem unfair. You have a bunch of laborers coming to work in the fields, and some come even in the last hour. Just the last hour. And then it's time to get paid, and it seems a little bit sneaky, because the master of the property pays the ones who came first, the ones who came last first, and gives them full pay. And then, so the ones who came first figure, oh man, we hit the jackpot here, but then gives them the same pay. So everybody, no matter what time you got there to labor in the fields, you get the same pay. What is this all about?
Yeah, well, the reason Jesus tells the parable is precisely because of the fact that it's just a fact of experience among those who are Christians, servants of the Lord, because the parable's about the servants of the Lord, huh? They're the ones that are laboring in his vineyard. It's a fact of experience that there's a sense of unfairness, that God sometimes, you know, is unfair to those who work. An instance of that comes out in the Gospel of Luke when Martha comes and she says, you know, Lord, don't you care that my sister is not working while I'm here working? She's sitting there listening to you. So there is this sense of, you know, I've been dedicating my whole life, you know, I've been following the commandments, I've been laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, I spent my whole life doing that, and then this guy comes and has a deathbed conversion, and he gets the same reward that I do, and how is that fair? That's the whole purpose of the parables, to explain exactly how it is fair. So it doesn't surprise me. It was your aunt, you said, who had trouble understanding that?
I didn't specify which relative on
it was a
quite
relative.
On purpose.
Okay, so a relative. Okay, a relative. So your relative.
Yes.
So, yeah. That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me. But that's the point of the parables, to explain how it still is fair.
Well, it doesn't. It's let me just put it this way. Among the, and I think this is probably the easiest way to explain my discomfort with it. This is probably the most un-American of all of the parables of Jesus. This is intolerable to an American. The idea that some worked a little and got paid full, and some worked a lot, and this does not comport with our idea of meritocracy.
Yeah. Let me address a few of those things. So first, you got to look at the larger context of the parable. That's one of the things I try to do in my book, is you look at the context before you look at the text itself. And it comes when Jesus is talking about how the little children should come to him, and then you had the rich young man who comes, and he's very wealthy, but he goes away sad because Jesus invites him to be an apostle and he doesn't want to give up all of his wealth.
Right.
And then Jesus says, and therefore the last will be first and the first will be last. And then he goes into this parable to explain what that means. Huh? And and there's lots of ways in which someone can be first or last. And in this time, in this parable, it looks like what he's talking about is first and last in time of service. Huh? So let's take the case of the person who's from the time they were cradle Catholic, they have faithfully kept the commandments all their life. They're like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. They have faithfully served their father the entire time, right? Yeah. And then you've got someone who has not been faithfully serving God, and either they were raised Catholic but they abandoned the faith, or they were never raised Catholic and they came late to the faith. And then somewhere in the middle or the end of their life, they have a conversion, and then they become, a servant of the Lord. And then at the end, the final judgment, which is what the reckoning signifies when he's paying each of the laborers in turn, the master gives that late convert the same as everyone else. Huh? And what's telling is this. What is the response of the master to the complaints of those who say you've been unfair? Do you remember what the response of the master is there?
I think if I recall, I couldn't give you a word for word. I'm not Tim Staples, but it strikes me that he tells them I've paid you what you I've paid you the day
what is
day's
judge?
Wage.
I haven't cheated you. And then he adds, and this is the really telling part, or are you envious because I'm generous? Am I not free to do as I want with my own money?
Right.
Right. And so it comes down to that question. It really comes down to envy. Huh? That's what our Lord is warning us against here. And envy, St. Thomas Aquinas, he defines envy as deliberate sadness at the good of another. And so envy, it makes you sad. So it's of all those sins, it's one of the most mysterious, because not only are you sinning, but it also makes you sad. So it's a complete lose-lose situation. I always tell people, if you're going to sin, then I recommend gluttony. At least you get something out of it,
I'm on the same page with you, Father.
But I'm not recommending gluttony. I'm just saying, if decided you're going to sin, then, I guess at least commit a sin you get something out of. But envy gives you nowhere. You're just sad and you sin, Mm-hmm. And so what's fascinating about envy is it's against your good in every way. It's against the good of... it's against the good of yourself because it makes you sad. It's against the good of your neighbor because you're acting like you don't love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, then you're just as happy to see them have a good as if you have it. But finally, it's against the good of God. And that's what's pointed out there. He says, "Are you envious because I am generous?" The envious soul only recognizes and values the good that God gives to them and not the good that God gives to other people. And it's like trying to do geometry when the only figure you admit exists is a point. It's just there's so much good that God disperses throughout all of his creation, and it's impossible for him in principle to give all of his goodness or adequately reflect his goodness by giving it to one creature. And so what he does is he disperses his goodness in different forms and different ways to creatures, sometimes goods that are incompatible. You can't simultaneously be a religious and a married man, right?
Yeah.
And so God has to give that goodness to one, of one vocation to one, the goodness of another vocation to another. And once you love the good of your neighbor as if it were your own, your eyes are open to God's generosity and you see his goodness because you love and value and admire the good that God has given to everybody. And that's the real problem with someone who really doesn't appreciate the fact that God is merciful to others.
888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about what, for many, is a puzzling a parable of Jesus, with the man who wrote the book on the parables of Jesus, at least the best one We've got Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. That author is Father Sebastian Walsh, Norbertine priest. So, Father, the primary way to take this entire parable then is as a kind of a heavenly perspective, I suppose, that the yeah. moment where that so in I guess in a certain way for the person who has lived a dissolute life, and then at the very end thinks, you know, why did I wait so long? Why did I refuse to come to the Lord all that time? And feels regret and feels a lack of deserving anything from the Lord. This is kind of an encouragement to that person.
It sure is. Yeah, it sure is. And remember, if you carry out the parable, what is the usual daily wage? The usual daily wage is the beatific vision. It's God's own happiness.
Right.
So I don't see how anyone can complain that he was gypped because he got the beatific vision.
Right.
So it's definitely, if you understand what the usual daily wage is, it's certainly not a just complaint. Now, you know, some people say, well, what if that person is like, you know, he's harmed me and he's harmed people I love and gets to go to heaven like right at the end or something like that. How's that fair? Well, first of all, I guess the first thing to say is, mercy isn't about justice. It goes beyond justice. Mm-hmm. And if God were fair to all of us, none of us would make it to heaven.
No one. You don't want heaven. Fairness. No.
And so, right, if you know, I think it was Chesterton who said, little children, because they're innocent, want justice, but adults, because they're guilty, they want mercy. Huh?
Right.
And I often say when I preach, I say, we want to receive mercy and to administer justice. But it should be the other way around. We should want to administer mercy and receive justice. But so, anyway, long story short, what happens is that even that person, when he converts on his deathbed, if he has the same love in his heart that you do, or maybe a greater love in his heart than you do at the moment of his death, he'll be more sorry for his sins than the sins themselves hurt you. And not only that, but he'll look back on his past life with regret. And those of us who've been able to serve the Lord our whole life will thank the Lord and will say, thank you, Lord, for giving me the chance to spend my whole life laboring, because the reward you have given me is so great that I would be kind of embarrassed and ashamed to have gotten this at the last minute. All my labors don't add up to a tiny amount, right? The sufferings of this life, the labors of this life are not worthy to be compared to the rewards that are coming in the next life. But we would be grateful and thankful to God that he gave us the opportunity to labor so long in the vineyard and that we weren't among those who were last converted.
Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest. Our number, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk more about the mercy of God as it is expressed in this parable. And maybe, if you have your question, whatever your question is, you're welcome to bring it. But we'll talk a little bit about why we are so resistant to mercy. The idea of mercy is one that is challenging to everybody. We all struggle with mercy as the value that God applies. We would prefer often other values, and we even see sometimes that the value of mercy is one that contradicts the values that we want applied. 888-318-7884, the number. Right back with more with Father Sebastian Walsh.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
When I begin my prayer time, I always enter into it with the expectation that God wants to teach me something. And it has to start with my willingness to share my heart with God, not just say words at Him. So whether I'm using more formal prayers or a more conversational style of prayer, I have to bring my heart and my life and my real self to God. And by having that dialogue, we're able to enter into a deeper relationship, and He's able to show me how to use all the events of my life to draw closer to Him.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and Father, I have to do a little bit of business before we go to the calls because uh-huh. we have an important thing happening here in the month of July in the Catholic Answers family, and that is that our own Marie, assistant producer Marie, will be changing her last name. She's no longer. I don't know. If she'll be assistant producer something. Marie, she's getting married this month, and so. We got to honor Marie and David as they approach their nuptials, and I did pronounce that correct. It's nuptials this month. And so the first person every day, and I'm not going to remind you this every day, but the first person who calls and congratulates Marie or says they'll pray for Marie and David, I'm going to send you a free book. And this is especially good because that just adds work for Marie, too. She's the one who sends out the books. So it's it's kind of a backhanded thing we're doing for Marie. So whoever gets
on... You
should
make Marie sign a personal thank you in return on the book. That would be really...
You're I didn't realize you were a devious priest. I'm glad to hear that, Father. Let's make some extra work for Marie while she's planning her wedding. We are just as delighted as can be. Marie is as good a person as you would ever want to be. She's just you just feel goodness coming off Marie when you're around her. David, a horrible person who just got lucky, but we are praying for both of them. And so the first person for the rest of the month, when you call, the first person who says congratulations to Marie or says they'll pray for Marie, you're going to get a free book. 888-318-7884, the number. We're talking about the mercy of God this hour because of a parable. We're using this parable as our occasion to do that because it is a somewhat disturbing parable. And we have the man who wrote the book Secrets from Heaven, a book about the parables of Jesus, Father Sebastian Walsh, with us. The parable that we are referring to is the parable that Father calls – wait, you call it the parable of the laborers who come late.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It doesn't roll off the tongue like the prodigal son, but
I know.
Essentially, you have all these people show up for work. Some of them show up at the beginning of the day. Some of them show up at the middle of the day. Some of them, I think I'm probably in this group, show up late in the day. At the end of the day, everybody gets the same. And the Lord seems to be presenting this to us as a good Father explaining that this is a parable of the mercy of God, particularly about the gift of everlasting life and everlasting presence to God in the next life. Our first caller is Steve. Oh, let me just give out the number one more time. Sorry, Stephen. 888-318-7884. Stephen in Arlington, Massachusetts, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Stephen, your question for Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Cy. Great program. Sure. Honestly, I was going to congratulate Marie and wish her the blessings of sacrament of marriage. I really was. Not for the book. And I do say, please support Catholic Answers, everyone that's listening.
Oh, God bless you. You're definitely getting the book.
It's a question statement. It'll be very brief, though, on my side. So I'm a sinner and a hypocrite, and I'm aware when someone's not working, I am, especially when there's stress. It's unbelievable, you know? And how could they be paid, and how could they be, you know, even working here? They're not working. And then it's as if the Lord does speak to us through the words that not necessarily written. It's like, what did I agree to do? What did I agree to be paid for? And that's my... let's say, human side that responds to the sinful struggle inside of me, which I look to dispel and I don't give it much attention and then I let it go. Because while I am being sinful, I'm not working.
That's a very good point. Yeah, Father, what do you make? Do you want to respond to that, Father?
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting is in the whole parable is about the initiative of the master. And we have to remember that. We can take it for granted, especially those of us who were raised Catholic and just we basically took in the faith with our mother's milk. And so we tend to think that like the faith is something that you just sort of have, and it's not really a gift. It's something you've just had your whole life or something like that. And when you see other people who don't have the faith, you forget, well, faith is a gift. And maybe God the Father has not yet taken that initiative for reasons known to him alone. As a priest, I'm constantly aware of that. I've seen so many times where I've come to someone at their deathbed and gave them the last sacraments and reconciled them to the church. Or there's one case of a woman that I knew who was 101 years old when she came to the faith. After an entire lifetime of like being anti-Catholic and all these other things, and God eventually brought her to the faith. Faith is a gift. And if we don't appreciate that, then we might lose it ourselves. Some of the trials of the saints are basically that, just to show how much faith is a gift from God. So we can't look and judge those others who don't have faith, those who are, as the parable says, standing idle all day long, because maybe God hasn't given them that gift yet. And so we're not in a position to judge them for the way they're living. We just say, okay, we pray for them and we wait for God to give them that gift. And then we rejoice the way an older sibling rejoices to hear that his mom and dad are having a new baby. That's how we should rejoice at the laborers who come late, the people who come late to the faith, a new brother, a new sister in Christ.
Stephen, what do you make of that?
It's fantastic, and I thank God for work, and I can only tie it back with a sense of words that tie where the work can be offered up as a prayer. And it's fascinating, Father, what you brought up as a subject. It really is.
Thank you.
You get the book Secrets from Heaven. I don't remember if I said which book I was going to give out, but today it's definitely Father's book. So hang on, Stephen. Thank you for the good. I believe you that you intended to have those good wishes for Marie and David before, but you still get the book. I appreciate the call very much. 888-318-7884. The number 888-318-7884. Let's go to George in Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio in Idaho. Your question for Father George.
Actually, as a comment, I come from an engineering background, studying mathematics, things of that nature. And it seems to me that the payment that's being given by an infinite being is an infinite gift, an infinite amount. And so everyone is more than compensated. They're getting something beyond that what they can comprehend. And you can't put I only deserve half of infinite on it. Or I deserve twice as infinite.
Right.
It's just we're all being given eternal life and existence with God.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. I also happen to have an engineering background, so maybe we think alike in that regard, but that's absolutely true. The reward, the usual daily wage is not a drachma. It's the very vision of God, the very happiness of God. And so there's a fascinating text in St. Thomas's commentary on the sentences of Peter Lombard. I'm getting very obscure now. But at one point, St. Thomas says this. He says, the joy of heaven is so great that it would be worth it to spend eternity in hell if only you could have one moment of the beatific vision. Just to show you how great a joy the beatific vision is, the happiness of God. We tend to think of heaven and hell as being kind of co-equal, like hell's as bad as heaven is good or something. No, heaven infinitely exceeds anything you could ever imagine, and no evil would be such that it wouldn't be worth going through in order to obtain that. And so, the reward there is more than just for everyone, no matter how long they've labored.
Okay, George?
Thank you. Good day. God bless.
Yeah, it's good to have an engineer's perspective. we need more Catholic engineers, by the way. Do you feel that? I mean, engineers build the world, And sometimes we act like this is very important, actually. More Catholic engineers, more Catholic scientists. George, thanks very much for the call. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. If you are among those people, as my relative who did not get named, who told me she accepts every part of the Gospels except this part because she just doesn't believe Jesus would be that unfair. Father has explained that it's not a matter of unfairness. It's a matter of explaining the merciful fairness of God in this regard. Your calls are welcome, 888-318-7884. Father, I sometimes I've read this parable and I have wondered, is this also a message for the Gentile Christians among the early church? Is that possible or is that a crazy thought?
Well, as always happens with Scripture, there are multiple levels of meaning.
This is Kreskin. Of course, you know me as the amazing Kreskin. And this is Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy. You really should be listening to our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. This week, we have an interview with the Archbishop of San Francisco about the destruction of statues, particularly statues of St. Junipero Serra, the father of the state of California. And then we have Carlo Broussard on. He shows how modern claims that the Bible teaches sola scriptura are rooted in false interpretations of a few scriptural passages. Catholic Answers Focus, the best podcast in the world. Get it where you get your podcasts or find out more at CatholicAnswersFocus.com. The claim to be the best podcast in the world has not been scientifically verified and is probably just bragging. CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father, we were just discussing the parable that's on the table for this hour, the parable of the laborers who came late to their work. Jesus gives every person who works, even if they work just the last hour of the day, the same wage. And we've been talking about what the meaning of that parable is. But with the author of the new book from Catholic Answers, Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith, and the Parables and Conversations of Jesus, it's available now at shop.catholic.com. Father Sebastian Walsh is that author. And I had asked Father if there was some way in which possibly part of the meaning of this parable was as a comfort to Gentiles who had not been part of the original covenants that the Jewish people were a part of. And then, right when we're talking, the amazing Kreska just jumps in the middle of it because Nick and I missed that rarely happens that the amazing Kreska interrupts us. But Father, so you were talking about how a parable such as this has multiple levels.
Yeah, and so beyond the meaning that it has for the ordinary Christian about explaining how each individual person should understand, a late convert, someone who's come later to the faith. It can also refer to a larger group of people. And two possible interpretations would be the following. When it says that the master sends out, right, he goes out several times throughout the day and invites laborers, that could refer to the old covenant, where he sends out different covenants. He has an original covenant with Adam, and then he has another covenant, for example, with Moses, and then another one with David, and so forth, huh? All these covenants, and there's been a lot written on that. And so those different ages, right, there's a covenant with Noah and so forth. Those different ages of covenants, huh, could refer to the different times in the old covenant that God took the initiative and invited more laborers, huh, to his vineyard.
Yeah.
Another interpretation could be that it refers to the sending out of the church to the Gentile nations. And the first ones who were invited were the Jewish people, right? Like I said, they received the covenants and the promises. And it's telling because in the parable, the master makes a promise to the first people, but not to anyone else. He says to the first people, he says, I will give you the usual daily wage. He gives them a specific fulfillment of a promise that they're to expect. Whereas everyone else, he just says, you two go into my vineyard and I'll give you what's just or something like that. Huh? And so according to that reading, the first group would be the Jewish people. And then each successive group of laborers would be different Gentile nations who eventually get converted to the faith.
I see.
And there's a fascinating text in St. Paul's epistle to the Romans where he says that a hardening has come upon Israel to make them envious or jealous. And once the full quantity of the Gentile nations has come in, all of Israel will be converted and come to the Lord out of a certain jealousy for the, you know, for the Gentiles who have been brought in. So it's a fascinating text in Romans where he talks about that. And that seems to correspond to this this admonition by the master, are you envious because I'm generous? You know, it's basically an invitation. The first people to whom the promise was made are the last ones to finally be brought in, you know? And
right.
So it's an interesting fulfillment of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And it's very, very much is at my heart because I was raised Jewish as a child, and then I think about all my relatives and everything like that, and I think, oh, I'm so hopeful that my, you know, my Jewish relatives will one day all be brought to the gospel.
Oh, praise God! That's beautiful. That is beautiful. I don't know. See, I never know when I ask you a question how deep we're going to go, and I really appreciate it, Father.
Sure.
Let's go to Jim in Massachusetts. I guess we're big in Massachusetts today. That's great, Jim. You have a question or comment for Father?
Yes. Thank you for taking my question, and bless your Father and bless you too, Si.
Thank you.
My question is more on a point because I have this. I'm a Catholic. And I got away from the faith a couple of times and came back.
Hmm.
And I did a Bible study, and because I was looking for a Catholic one, but I couldn't find one.
Hmm.
And what really grabbed me, and I can kind of like with Luther, the way that he kind of like grabbed onto it, is faith without works. Because I worked my butt off, and it seemed like I was always depressed and everything. And when I read that or learned about that, it like lifted everything.
Oh.
And every time that I hear about faith plus works, I kind of like go into a depression again.
Hmm.
But anyway,
so
when you were talking
Jim,
about...
Okay, no, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Continue your thought, please.
It brought me back to yesterday's question about faith with works. And you kind of like answered it in a second, what you were just saying. But let me get my brush here. The people that were working before were in the fields for a long time. They were working, and they were working with faith because you did say that it had something to do with spiritual stuff. And the people that came in second, they worked, but they didn't. They only worked a little bit, and so then they got the salvation too. So I kind of like put together that. Like you were saying with the Jewish population, they were faith with works, but with Paul and them, it's like faith without works. Does that make sense?
Okay, let me address that because I don't want to, on the one hand, I want to acknowledge what's true about the mercy of God, and that is that that first invitation to grace is nothing that can be merited. Huh? It's not merited. That God's mercy if it's mercy and if it's grace, is something unmerited. Huh? So we want to certainly admit that. And we also want to understand that regardless of, you know, how many failures someone has had in attempting to follow the Lord, they always have the opportunity for forgiveness, especially through the sacrament of confession. And so I often say, look, if you had an ATM machine that always gave you money when you went to it, no matter when you went to it, you wouldn't be so upset about going into debt, you know? And something similar like that, if you believe in God's mercy that he'll always forgive you if you're truly sorry, then you never have to worry about whether or not you're earning your salvation. The truth is that no amount of work on your part will make you worthy of the beatific vision, okay? So that's what's true in what you're saying. On the other hand, we don't want to ignore what St. James says when he does say that faith without works is dead, huh? And so what we have to understand there is that faith has to work through love. That doesn't mean the outward, you know, works that have to do with, like, you know, you have to do all these penances, you know, like these extreme penances of these saints and things like that. I'm not disparaging that. That's a sign of their great love. I'm simply saying that your faith, in order to be real faith, has to show itself in your love and in some way through your actions. Huh? So I guess when St. James says that faith without works is dead, he is referring to a work of love, okay? So that your actions reveal that not only do you believe, but you love what you believe. So I don't know. Does that help you at all? Or,
oh man, that's exactly what I believe. I mean, that's exactly what I say. But when I listen to the people on that show talking, they talk for an hour and a half, and I don't know if they're saying what you just said in that one little paragraph or not. But it's like I have no clue what they're talking about. I lose them as soon as they say you're right about, you know, faith comes from God. No, yeah. Really, you really helped me out a lot, because that's exactly what I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Okay. Jim, you know what? I want to send you Father's book, Two Secrets from Heaven, partly because I want to give Marie more work, but also, Jim, I just think you made a great connection with Father. And the thing about it is, in this book, he does the same thing. You know, it says in a paragraph what a lesser writer or thinker or person who attends to Jesus might take a long time and be very confusing saying. Father has the facility to say it. So hang on, Jim. We'll send you that book. Father Sebastian Walsh is our guest. We're talking about the parable of the laborers who came late. Father is the author of the book that we just gave, Jim, Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith and the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. Let's go now to Mike in Los Angeles, California, listening on EWTN Radio. Mike, you have a question for Father?
Hi, Si. Yeah, I do. Hi, Father. Thank you so much.
Hi, Mike.
Last night, coincidentally, I was, actually for the last several weeks, but particularly last night, I was really wrestling with this parable. And I was totally frustrated. And before I went to sleep, I really prayed to God to give me wisdom and grace to understand this. And to listen to your answer today, the way you framed it, particularly through envy, was an epiphany for me. It really helped me understand the mercy and how I should be framing this parable in my mind. But I do have a question.
Yes.
That I still wrestle with, and that is this. Can you, it almost seems in some ways preferable to come late as opposed to come early in the day.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. Can you tell me what the merits would be, as a cradle Catholic,
yeah,
as born into the faith,
yes,
what are the merits of having, yes, shown up at the beginning of the day, and or...
Okay.
Wait, can I try and answer, Father, and see if my answer...
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
I just want to go out on a crazy limb. Jesus. Is that a good answer? You get,
yeah,
Jesus for your whole life. Go ahead, Father.
Let me add, who, yeah, can add to Jesus, but let me clarify. So I like to give this analogy. let's say that a poor young peasant boy ends up being chosen by the most beautiful princess, you know, and the daughter of the king to be her husband. And you can imagine this poor, you know, peasant boy who basically has nothing to recommend him. You know, he would look forward to the opportunity to do something, at least. He could never show that he was worthy of her, but to at least do something to show that his desire is, you know, is what it should be, and to the extent he's able to show his worthiness. And that's the advantage that comes to those who have labored their whole life. When we get to heaven and we see just how good God is, those of us who have worked a long time in his vineyard and paid a heavy price, in some sense, we'll be less embarrassed about the fact that we were so generously recompensed. You know, we'll be like, thank you, Lord, for giving me that opportunity to have worked so hard, because I would be ashamed almost or embarrassed to have come to you without having done at least as much as I could to show you on my part my love for you and my gratitude to you. And so in some way, it's the opportunity to show gratitude for so great a gift. That's the gift for us who have labored longer in the Lord's vineyard. Does that make sense?
Mike, did we lose Mike? I think he fainted because it was so good, that answer.
He dropped that.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate
well,
it. We
got to take it. I hope he got it on his radio at least. Maybe he can on the podcast later.
Exactly. I got to go to a break, Father, but did you choose that kind of image of the man who was unworthy of the woman that he was marrying because of Marie and David getting married? Because that's so encapsulates.
You told me he was a horrible person. I just have to believe everything you say.
Thank you, Father. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bishop James Wall from the Diocese of Gallup, New Mexico. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
New on EWTN Radio, The Church Alive.
Yes, St. Monica, who I think is one of those great role models for so many mothers today.
My mother passed on to eternal life 8 years ago on the Feast of St. Monica. And you know, what a powerful example for me, because I know she prayed me back to the church.
The Church Alive with Brian Patrick, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and Father Thomas Petri. Saturday at 7 a.m. and 1 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Father Sebastian Walsh. He is a priest of the Norbertine Abbey of St. Michael in Orange County, California. If you got a minute and you want to see something cool, you should check out their website and see the church they're building. They're doing the Lord's work up there in Orange County. They do all sorts of wonderful work, including singing the Divine Office. But man, a church that's let's say we perhaps need some more elevated architecture in Southern California, and they're providing that.
You can go online and see the pictures. They're just beautiful now. So,
You're building the church that you're expecting to stand for 1,000 years. I mean, it's not like some of these buildings we build now. You know, 10 years it'll be obsolete. You kind of feel like 1,000 years from now, this church will still be there. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking with Father Sebastian about the parable of the laborers who came late. We go now to Vivian in Nicaragua, listening on EWTN online. Thank you for calling all the way from Nicaragua, Vivian. I'm sorry I kept you waiting. I didn't realize how far the call was coming from, but your question for Father.
That's okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hi, Father Sebastian.
Hi.
And hi, everyone. God bless you for your ministry.
Thank you.
I know EWTN Radio is wonderful. In regards to this parable, I want to comment that I had trouble with it in the past also because I thought Jesus was unfair. But I once heard Mother Angelica say that there are different levels of glory in heaven. Mm. And St. Mary, our Blessed Mother, for instance, she has a place where most of us are, I think we're not going to have. Mm-hmm. We'll be close, but maybe not. So I just want to know if the Father has any insights. Yes. Or comments about that.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. So that's a teaching of the Church that each individual soul in heaven will have a different degree of glory in heaven. St. Paul quotes a passage from the Old Testament where he says, star differs from star in glory. And he applies that to the saints. He says that each saint will have a different degree of glory in heaven. Huh? And so while it is true that all of us will receive the same wage, namely to see God face to face, some will see him more clearly, others will see him less clearly, but everyone will see God. And so the analogy that people often use is some people will have larger cups, some people will have smaller cups, but every cup will be completely full. In other words, everyone will be fully happy, even though some people will be happier than others. Huh? And so in that regard, it's true that certain people who have loved more in this life, not necessarily have undergone more difficulties, because the root of merit is charity, actually. It's all about how much love you have, okay? But those who have loved more in this life will see God more clearly. Those who have loved God less in this life but still loved him will see him less clearly. But all of them will see God and will be fully satisfied. But what's interesting is this. What the parable teaches us is that the souls in heaven are not so much interested as what belongs to them as their own private possession. They are interested in what is common to all of them, and that is all of them share the same vision of God, right? So you and me, God willing, we make it to heaven, and Cy, and the
Blessed
Virgin Mary,
thanks for throwing me in, Father.
We're all going to be seeing God, and so we're all going to have that same reward. So we'll all have the same reward, but each one of us will privately have one or another degree of glory there, but that won't be the most important thing for us. For us, the most important thing is we see God. We see God face to face. And so there'll be no envy, because everyone in heaven prefers the common good to their own private good. So I don't know. Does that help, Vivian?
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you very much for your insight. And God bless you, Father, and all of you at EWTN.
Thank you, Vivian.
Bye.
God bless you. I'm going to go quick through these calls because there's still quite a few who would like to speak with you, Father, before we have to go. Let's go to Brenda in Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Brenda, your question for Father.
I had a couple comments. So I'm going to try to make this short. So I was actually reflecting on this passage like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I recently went through a convalidation. My husband and I were together for 10 years before we entered. We had our religious ceremony through the church.
Well, congratulations.
And the day of the wedding.
Wonderful.
Thank you. The day of the wedding was very emotional for me. And I, ever since that day, it was actually this past weekend, ever since that day, I've been filled with joy, and I've seen, like, his mercy and his, like, abundance in generosity.
Yep.
And so, like, this passage and what you've been saying, Father, makes me reflect even more profoundly on, you know, where love really is and how it is that, like, we need to love. And it brings that question to mind, like, okay, am I loving my brother as I should? Or is jealousy and envy getting in the way of me being able to love generously?
That's right.
Like, that's the one thing that keeps coming to mind, not only with this passage, but other passages that I've been hearing recently. It's you know, like for me to be happy, for me to be overwhelmed with love and to love my spouse as I should, freely and without, without, you know, holding back, I have to like understand like what that means. And
Brenda, like, I want to let Father respond. What you're saying is absolutely, it's not, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the Christian life. It sounds like meeting Jesus and then the light going on. Father, did you want to comment to Brenda?
Well, the first thing I guess I would say is that it's obvious that as a result of your marriage being blessed in the church, that it opened the floodgates of grace for your soul.
Praise God. Yeah.
And so you're experiencing the effects of that. And one of the immediate effects is that it's healing that part of your soul where you you were struggling before more with things like envy and jealousy. And you know, there's in the scriptures it says, by the envy of the devil, death entered into the world, huh? So envy is a kind of a root sin. It's like the bottom, the most poisonous of the different sins. And so to be able to experience God's mercy firsthand yourself as one of those laborers who came late, and then to understand like, okay, I have no reason to be jealous of anyone. Look what I've received from the Lord, is a real blessing. And I hope that everyone who hears this takes it to heart, especially those who have yet to have their marriages blessed in the church. And so I hope that your testimony really moves the hearts of many of those who have not yet had their marriages blessed in the church to come to the Lord, come to the church seeking that blessing for themselves.
Brenda, I'm going to continue because there are other people who want to talk with Father, but thank you so much for that beautiful testimony. Really, thank you so much. Carol in Tennessee, you're next. Your question for Father. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm here. Okay. Also, I think Marie got off before I got a chance. I don't know if she heard me. Congratulations, blessings, and prayers for she and David.
Well, she hears you now, Carol.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Okay. I was telling her that the caller you had from Los Angeles, I think his name was Michael, asking the question, seems that it's better to come late than early. He was raised a cradle Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So that prompted me. I just had to dial right away. I'm one of those latecomers. Thankfully, I was raised Christian my whole life, but not Catholic. And basically, to know the beauty of the real truth, and I don't even know how to put it into words. I'm sorry, I'm kind of tearing up here. My 90-year-old mother came into the faith.
Oh.
And died shortly after that. And I came in 2008. But I cannot tell you the joy my mother had each time she received Jesus. And to have her questions answered, her questions of a lifetime about Christian faith that weren't answered in the Protestant tradition in which we, you know, grew up.
Yes.
Just so thankful, so thankful. And I understand the caller or any cradle Catholic, like, well, you know, that was a good question that he posed. You can't understand something you haven't experienced, but I just wanted to say, just be thankful to God you were raised and had the truth right along, because
yes,
so many of us don't.
Carol,
have it.
Thank you, Carol. Father, you only have a few seconds, Father, but
okay.
You want to respond?
Yeah, I guess I would say, and thank you so much. That's exactly right, Carol. To say that you had an advantage because you came late is a little bit like saying that a starving man had an advantage because he came to the banquet late. he might get the same food, but he'd been starving all the way up till then. And so it's better, if all things being equal, it's better if you come early.
Thank you, Carol. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
Per intercessionem Beata Maria Virginis, Romnum Sanctorum, Benedictio Dei Potentis Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendat super vos, et mani et semper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. Oh, man, I always feel that when it's over, we should just make every show about Jesus. They're always the best programs.
Amen.
I mean, you know, you're good to have, but it just always feels like such a blessing when we've done a whole hour on Jesus. So thanks for doing it with us, Father.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Si.
All right, next up, Tim Staples. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live right after this.